Good morning, Village Church. Happy almost new year to you. You know, this happened the 9-2. You're supposed to say, happy almost new year to you too, Matt. So try this again. Happy almost new year to you. There we go. It was so much better. Well, I'm fine. My flag's flying about half-mast this morning, just as a little disclaimer. You know, food poisoning is the gift that keeps on giving, and it just has been giving to my family since the night after Christmas. And it's a great weight loss plan, you know, like I'm preaching this morning and all, but other than that, hopefully your post-Christmas was a bit better than mine, right? A bit better than ours. It's kind of a bummer because this time of year is such a great time of year. There's so many great moments this time of the year in the life of our family and my own life personally. I know one of the great moments is my drive home from Christmas Eve. I probably have told you this every year since I've been here, so maybe the story's getting really old. But you know, the drive home on Christmas Eve is just one of my favorite moments of the year. Just having been here with all of you and been at the Christmas Eve service and driving home and knowing that everyone's inside and, you know, drive up and the lights are on and I'm the last one there, but I can smell the food from outside and everyone's inside and I open the door and, you know, there's all this commotion going on, all this life in the house and all the people that we love together and celebrating Jesus, and it's just a great, great moment in life. I love this time of year also because of the downtime between Christmas and New Year's. Growing up as a kid, my dad was an engineer, and I don't know how many of you are engineers, but it seems like engineering firms just shut down, you know, the 2 weeks between Christmas and New Year's, and that was his thing, and so we just like laid low. And since we've been here at the Village Church, this has been kind of something that we do as leaders and as a staff. We kind of just lay low the week between Christmas and New Year's. Not a lot of expectations. I might have been in my PJs till 2 o'clock one day, you know, maybe like you. I don't know. You know, just kind of laying low with the family and the downtime that we get to just consider things in the coming year. And of course, we'll talk about that closer to New Year's. But maybe you've been doing that already. I'll take typically a day during this next week and just get away and just be by myself and just reaffirm who I am, who God's made me to be, the kind of gifts he's entrusted to me and what I'm supposed to be doing just as a person, as a Christian, as someone who follows Jesus. You know, who am I in him and what has he called me to do? It's a real meaningful thing to do in my own life personally. And then we do that kind of in our life as a family a bit, you know, especially around the new year and then around our anniversary. Dean and I always go out and we talk about these things twice a year. You know, who are we and what are we supposed to be doing and how are we doing that, you know? And so that's an important time for us. I look forward to it. I look forward to a lot of those kind of moments in the life of our church family as well. Speaking of the Christmas Eve service, I just love being at Christmas Eve with most of you, or many of you, I guess, together at Christmas Eve. It was such a great time. I love the Christmas block party. And I really do enjoy this Sunday. You know, every year, it's either this Sunday or the next Sunday or maybe both, where we sit together and we have a little bit of downtime. And as a church, we just reaffirm who we are and what we're supposed to be doing together. And so over the next 2 weeks, we're going to do that. And this morning, I'm going to start by just kind of walking us through our mission, our vision together, like why we're here and what we're doing. And then next week, I'm going to kind of walk us through some of the values we want to talk about in 2019 and that we hope really characterize our church this coming year and in the years to come. And that'll be more about like what kind of atmosphere do we want our church to have? What kind of culture do we want to continue to affirm and develop? And so this morning, it's my privilege just to walk you through some of the things that we believe God's called us to as a church, our core focus, as it were, as we're calling it as elders. We spent some time together on an elder retreat just reaffirming these things, and I want to share these things with you. Before I do, I want to give just a few disclaimers. There's five of them, actually. There's five. There's not just a few. There's five. A few disclaimers before we get into it this morning. One, the things I'm going to be sharing with you are largely old, not new. Okay? They're largely old, not new. I'm not going to share a bunch of new stuff with you this morning. You're going to see a couple new tweaks in our sort of our vision statement, and I'll explain those. Nothing out of the ordinary, but mostly old, not new. Okay? So don't drift off. Just stay with me. We're going to repeat some things together to help us kind of stay together. Secondly, this is going to be topical, not exegetical. Okay, so most of the time, I'm teaching through a passage of Scripture. Don't worry if you're worried about it. In 2 weeks from now, we're going to be going through Daniel, just lots of Scripture all at one time, and we're going to have a great time doing that. We usually do that. Don't teach a lot of topical sermons on Sunday, but this morning I am topical, not exegetical. And because of that, it's going to be kind of largely wide and not deep. Okay, I'm going to kind of scratch the surface on a lot of this and not go too terribly deep this morning. But all that considered, old, not new, topical, not exegetical, wide, not deep, but all that considered, it is going to be responsive and not passive. I don't want you just sitting there just passively sort of as I sort of just repeat some of these things that you've heard a lot of times. This is going to be responsive, not just passive. At the end of each section, I'm going to invite you into something responsively that I'll show you as we go along. Also, I'm going to ask you to repeat some things with me this morning. I'm expecting you all engage very well this morning on that. So responsive, not passive, and also us, not just you. I want you to realize this morning, I know often we come and we really need to be here. Over my sabbatical time, I learned that as we visited different churches. I went to church and I'm just like, I'm just glad that I'm here. And I'm here. I need to be here. I need to receive the preaching of God's word. And I know now a bit more how that feels to go to church on a typical Sunday morning after my sabbatical time. And I appreciate that. And I pray that this morning will meet some of your needs as an individual. But this morning is largely about us, not just about you. You may have noticed we sang Lamb of God this morning in the plural, like corporately together, the Lamb of God in our place, right? His blood poured out, our sins erased. Right? We sang it together this morning, and there's reason for that. And so with these few caveats, I want to just talk about our core focus as a church together and just kind of hop into things this morning. At the Village Church, you know that we exist to glorify God by growing and multiplying disciples who are delighting in Jesus and declaring the good news about Jesus and displaying the life of Jesus. And this last retreat as we went away, we really kind of got down to why are we here? And we didn't have glorify God in our mission statement together. And we just thought as elders, we can't miss that. The reason why we're here is we're here to bring glory to God. And the way that we're here to bring glory to God is by growing and multiplying disciples. And that might also be something new for you to see. In the past, we've had multiplying disciples, but we really believe as a church, we are called to grow and multiply disciples. In years past, we've had, I think, more focus on the multiplying of disciples. For the last two and a half years, we've really intentionally, as elders, sort of pulled back a little bit from this idea of really focusing on the multiplying of disciples to kind of the growing of the disciples that are here, to building of culture that are going to grow disciples that are present with us at the Village Church. You've noticed the middle time. You've noticed our block parties. You've noticed us doing some things more intentionally with elder partner care to really focus on growing disciples, not just multiplying them. But as elders, we believe that the season is here where we're called to not only grow but multiply disciples. We need to do these things together, and so we're called to do those things, and we will do those things together in the coming year and in the years to come, growing and multiplying deep and wide. We need to grow up a bit as a church still, and we need to grow out a bit still as well, and we believe Jesus will lead us into all of that together, and we just believe that this is what we're called to do, and that these are the kinds of the disciples that Jesus has desired from the beginning. That from the beginning, Jesus has desired disciples that are delighting in him and that are declaring the good news about him and that are displaying his life to those around them, both inside and outside the church. Look, we didn't come up with this mission statement because it was new or novel or fancy or cutting edge or anything like that. We're actually not interested in those things as much as we're interested in being culturally relevant and contextual into our surrounding, our culture and our time and our place and all of that. We're not looking to do much that's novel or cutting edge or sort of like out on the fringe. We want to do the things that the disciples of Jesus have been doing for 2,000 years, and we want to continue to do those things well and in increasing measure. And so that's what we're called to do as a church. That's what we want to do. We want to delight in Jesus. So I want to talk to you a few minutes about delighting in Jesus. And what I want to do is I want to just go back to the beginning. We're going back to the book of Acts this morning. And all the passages that we'll look at from the book of Acts. And if you know the book of Acts well, you'll already know the stories. And if you don't, I'll give them a little bit of color. I'll have time to do a little bit of that this morning. But we're really just looking at how did the early church delight in Jesus? Again, we don't want to make up anything new. We don't want to start trying to delight in Jesus in a way that this church has never done before, never tried to do, or never been instructed to do. We want to delight in Jesus the way that Jesus instructed us to delight in him and the way the early church modeled for us to delight in him. That's what we want to do. And we know that the early church delighted in him through his word. Will you say that with me? Delighting in him through his word. Say it with me again. Delighting in him through his word. Yeah, we want to delight in him through his word. And we see that in the opening vignette of the early church, this one that we go to all the time in Acts 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayers. That word devotion means constant attention. They paid constant attention to these things. And you know as well as I do that you pay constant attention to the things that bring you the most happiness and joy and fulfillment and delight. And I do the same thing. I give my time, my attention, my money, my mind share, my resources, my affection. I give myself to the things that bring me the most joy and happiness and fulfillment and delight. And in the early church, this is the thing that brought them the greatest delight, was delighting in Jesus, giving themselves to these things and delighting in him through his word. You know, this year we're going to do that through the McShane reading plan. And maybe you picked up a Bible or devotional by D.A. Carson that's going to complement that. We encourage you to pick those up to join us as we read the Bible together and engage the scripture, delight in Jesus together through the scriptures this coming year. We're going to continue to pray scripture together on our Wednesday night prayer gatherings and the different times we gather together as a church, formally and informally. We're going to delight in Jesus through his word as we pray his word. We pray scripture. You're going to see 2 weeks from now as we get into the book of Daniel, we're going to have long scripture readings. Paul told Timothy, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture. And if I'm honest with you, as one of your pastors, we looked at the book of Daniel and we said, how are we going to do this? How long is the scripture reading going to be on a given Sunday morning? And we just decided, you know what? As long as it needs to be. Because we're going to devote ourselves to the public reading of scripture. You'll see that in the first quarter of this coming year up through Easter. And then we just want, man, I would love for this church just to have scripture involved in our conversations. That as we're delighting in Jesus together, that scripture is more just coming off of our lips. It's just part of our vernacular as a church. Again, when we gather formally and when we gather just informally as church friends, delighting in him through his word. Also delighting in him through prayer. This has always been the way that they delighted in him, right? Through the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. The prayers here refer to actually normal rhythms of prayer, hours of prayer that they were accustomed to. They had rhythms of prayer in their life. This was ongoing, and this was done out of their desire now for Jesus and their delight in him. They were praying in the same kind of rhythms, but in a different kind of way, I believe. And this is what we want to do as a church. We want to have these rhythms of prayer. We're going to continue our Wednesday night prayer gatherings. And there's a core group of folks that show up to that and some new folks every time, it seems, a few. And we just could not encourage you more to come and pray with us. This last time, some of our friends came and hadn't seen them in a while. And I was affirming him in a time we had together as friends over a dinner. I was just so glad that we got to pray together. I loved hearing him pray. And I would love to hear you pray and invite you to join us as we pray together in our prayer nights on Wednesdays. Third Wednesday, rather, that is, of every month. Also, I'd love to see us as a church just pausing to pray more. You know, people pausing to pray more after service. And I saw that this Sunday. I've seen it outside already. I saw it after the 9 o'clock service, people praying over each other. I prayed with someone who needed prayer. We actually invited a couple in our church forward, and we all kind of came forward at the 9 and prayed over them at the 9 here, just incorporating prayer. I wonder what it would feel like if a church service kind of erupted in a prayer meeting a little bit, maybe if it felt a bit like that in the coming year. We'd love to pray more together as a church, delight in him through prayer, not just as a duty, but as a delight. Delighting in him through fellowship. They gave themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. And the fellowship was that sharing of things together and sharing of life together. In Village Church, we want to do that in increasing measure in this coming year. And I hope you've noticed in the last couple of years that we've been trying to create these opportunities for us to do that in the middle time, and again, in our block parties, at community group. JT and his team have been doing a good job following up with some of the stuff Pastor Dave started at the beginning of the year. And I feel like we have a momentum there with our community groups and them enjoying each other more and more, delighting in Jesus more and more together. We want to see more and more of that in the next year here in 2019. But I want to also just say, you know, we can fellowship together on Sunday mornings. I know that seems kind of odd even to say, because Sunday morning sometimes feels like we're all just kind of passing, coming in and out, and kind of pretty quick. But could I just humbly and gently encourage you to come a bit earlier than you usually do? Or stay a bit longer than you usually do. Right? Or invite each other out to lunch. You know, I know there's a few groups of friends and people that we have, different groups of people that, you know, whoever we see, it's not like even orchestrated. It's just like, we saw you and we said, hey, you guys want to go to lunch? And that's what we're doing after church. And maybe you would even budget a little bit this year in your own budget to be able to go to lunch after church with people a few days, a few Sundays a month. It'd be great if more of us just said, hey, we're all going to this place, or a bunch of us are going here. Please come along and spend more of your day on Sunday fellowshipping together. Again, the middle times, the block parties, lunch after church, and just life outside of church. We hope you fellowship together and enjoy delighting in Jesus, because when you're delighting in Jesus together, you know how this goes. You're reflecting something of him back to each other. And that's why we delight in Jesus together, because we see something of him in each other. And we want all the more of that in this coming year. And lastly, delighting in him through worship and song. God's people have always done this. They've always done this. It's been such a part of their life that they even do this when they go to jail. Right, you might remember the story in Acts chapter 16 where Paul and Silas are jailed, and it says that they are praying and singing hymns and all the guards are listening to them. You might think, well, that's a little odd passage to choose for this emphasis on delighting in him through worship and song. And actually, I don't think it is at all, because they definitely would not be singing hymns to him in prison if they hadn't been singing hymns to him in their home. If they hadn't been singing hymns to him as they gathered together in the temple courts and in their homes, and as they gathered informally, as the church would spontaneously just sing, as had been their tradition, as they were singing scripture, they were a singing people. In Village Church, I want us to be a singing people. We want us to be singing people who are delighting in Jesus through our singing. And so there's a few things that you'll notice in this coming year that hopefully you've already noticed, is that we want to have an unrushed and an unhurried worship time and responsive worship time. And I'm going to do my best to keep these sermons under 40 minutes, and so we have the time that we need to just have an unhurried time to sing and respond. We can sing long, and that we could sing loud together to Jesus. We're going to protect the God-centeredness of the songs that we sing. And if some of the songs we might write or introduce, that they'll be God-centered songs. We want to protect that as our in our life of our church, and we'll continue to do that. And might I suggest, we could be a little bit more animated in our response as we sing. I think as a church, generally, we could sing a little bit louder. We could sing with a little bit more affection. I know it's inside, okay? I'm just calling it out a little bit. I know you don't have to be the hand raiser. Some of you aren't. You're the palm raiser. You know, you do the palms. Some of you do the hands, whatever. But I'm just saying that you would be a bit more animated. You would feel the freedom just to be a bit more animated and respond to the Lord as you're delighting in him through singing to him. And that would be a really welcome thing here at the Village Church. How will you delight in Jesus in increasing measure in 2019? There's four different ways, and I want to just encourage you to consider them, right? Prayer. Or the word, prayer, fellowship, and enjoying him through singing and song, worship and song. Will you take a moment and just pause and just see which one might really resonate with you? Maybe even now you just know, you know, I want to, and I know I need to delight in Jesus more in this way in the coming year. You know, you might have been really faithful in reading your Bible, but if you're honest, it's been a bit more duty than delight. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's been true of prayer. Maybe you've been praying all kinds of things that you want from him, but not engaging prayer so much just to delight in him. Maybe that's going to be what it is. Maybe it's the fellowship. Maybe you come to church and you come to activities, but you really don't have that deep fellowship and sharing of life, and you really want it. You're going to pursue it instead of waiting for it to come to you. And maybe it's worship and song. You know, maybe you're really going to engage and just say, I'm going to engage in a more uninhibited way. And I really don't care, because Jesus is the one that I want to sing to. And so I'm going to be more animated, or I'm going to engage in a deeper way as I do this. You know, the one I checked, my box is checked on prayer. My box is checked on prayer. I want to delight in Jesus more through prayer in this coming year. And you know, the odd thing is, I've been trained to do that. I've had a mentor that taught me to do that. And I felt like in this last year, it was more just me asking God for things, more than me delighting in him through prayer. And I really want to make an effort, just as a person, to delight in him through prayer this coming year. Maybe what's it for you? I want to ask us all to respond in a way that maybe you've done before. Maybe you've been in that church service where like everyone's praying at the same time and you can't really hear what they're saying, but you hear their voices. But there's something kind of cool about it. We're just going to do that three times this morning, not in prayer, but we're just going to declare some things. If you've checked your box, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead us through just declaring this together. And you've got to do it with kind of a projecting voice. No whispers this morning, okay? And I'm going to lead us in this. And you're just going to fill in the blank, whatever yours is. Mine was prayer. So I'm going to lead us in. We're all going to stay together. And then you're going to fill in your blank at the end. Can we do this? Yeah, we can? Okay, great. All right, good. Here we go. By the grace of God, I will delight in Jesus more this coming year through prayer. Pretty cool. I think I heard all of them. It's pretty good stuff. I see spouses looking at each other. Really? Was that it? Yeah, you just found out something new. It's good. 2, declaring the good news about Jesus. We don't want to just be a people who are delighting in Jesus. We want to be a people that are declaring the good news about Jesus. And look at these key words, these distinctives about the kind of disciples we want to see made here at the Village Church, they have a priority order to them, right? The delighting in Jesus should naturally cause us to declare the good news about him. The people that are delighting in him can't help themselves but to talk about him and to declare the good news about him. And this is the way that it's always been in the church. And this is the way that we pray by God's grace it would always be in our church, that we will declare the good news about Jesus and that we'll declare the good news about him through preaching. And this has been the primary way that God has declared the truth about who he is to his people for all of time. In the Old Testament saints looking forward to the good news about Jesus, the New Testament saints looking backwards to the cross and the good news about his gospel, it has always been preaching. God has always used preaching as the primary means to declare the truths about who he is and what he's doing and what he has done. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus, Acts 5:42. In the temple, like in their corporate gatherings, preaching. And did you catch that? And in their homes, from house to house, they did not cease the preaching. They did not cease the preaching in the small gatherings, in the large gatherings, preaching largely inspirational, teaching largely instructional. They did not cease the inspirational kind of teaching and preaching, rather, of the Word of God to God's people and to anyone that would come to hear, whether that was in a home or in the public gathering, in a gathering like the one we're in this morning. And so we just commit to you as a church, Village Church, that preaching of God's word will always be central to what we do as a church, that we will always declare the good news about who he is with preaching that's just straightforward and just from the Bible. We're going to start the book of Daniel in 2 weeks from now. I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope you are too. That's just what we do and what we will always do. What you may find in this coming year is what you found in the last 6 months of this year, is you may find a few more voices as we preach. You know, in the early years of our church, you hear my voice, a lot of weeks. And you'll hear my voice, I think, most weeks. I think I still have a job here. But we'll have other voices that you'll hear, too. You've heard Pastor David's voice increasingly so in this last year. I think he preached more in this last year than he ever has, and you'll hear his voice. You've heard Josh Sales' voice. There are other men in our church that can preach the good news about Jesus in very compelling ways. And honestly, we've gathered a couple times as leaders and said, what do we do about that? Or what does that mean around here? And we're excited to see what God has in store for us in the year and the years to come about in that regard. So declaring the truth about him through preaching. Also declaring the good news about him through teaching. And as I said, the teaching is a little distinct from the preaching. Teaching largely instructional, preaching largely inspirational. But God's people need both. And that's why it says that every day from the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. In Village Church, we're going to continue to not only preach about Jesus, but we're going to teach about him. We're so thankful that God's raised up people in our church to do that, men and women. So grateful in 2018, God raised up Jen to teach our women in some very formal and instructional kinds of ways. And it's been a really good thing for the life of our church. And we're encouraged to see Jen help raise up other women who can also teach in various contexts in the life of our church. It's been true of the life of our church, but never more so than it is today. And again, as I've mentioned, God has raised up a bunch of men in this church that can teach the people of the church and can teach them well. And we look forward to seeing how that plays itself out in the coming year in men's and in women's studies, and apprentice sessions that are made public. We've talked about a number of apprentice sessions that we want to make public. And also on something that the elders are going to be calling Declare Sundays this year. This year, the second Sunday of every month, we're going to focus on this discipleship distinctive of declaring the truth about Jesus. And we're going to have what we call Declare Sundays. If you're a Village partner, recently you've had one of your elders reach out to you and ask you, you know, what is some theological topic or some kind of culturally relevant topic that you'd really like us to address as elders? The elders are waiting for the feedback from all the partners. And in this coming year, we're going to take 12 Sundays on the second Sunday of each month to address 12 of these topics that come up most frequently. And so they might be a theological topic that you're really concerned about or you're really curious about. It might be a culturally kind of charged topic that you want to know, what do we believe as a church about this? And so the second Sunday of every month, we'll take 3 to 5 minutes on a Sunday morning to give you a short snapshot of that. The elders will work on a position paper and a blog post. We'll post it to the community blog. Position paper will be up on the website, and you'll be able to know, this is what my church believes about this. We'll try to help each other walk through some of those things. And so in 2019, that's a new way that you will see us focusing on the teaching of the word, declaring the good news about Jesus through teaching. Also declaring the good news about Jesus through personal relationships. We desire to do this through personal relationships, and this is the way God's always designed it. I believe that's one of the reasons we desire it. It says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. The temple was the place of, it was the center of life in the day of the people that Luke was writing about. It wasn't just the religious center. It was actually like the economic center. It was a social center, a cultural center. The temple was like the day-to-day sort of social, contextual, cultural, economic center of life and their homes. Both in the most public settings and in the most private settings, they were declaring the good news about Jesus through personal relationships. And Village Church, in this coming year, we want to continue to do that as a church. We want to encourage you to declare the good news about Jesus through the personal relationship you have outside of this church in very public settings and in very private settings like in your home. Community groups sharing these things together in interpersonal relationship. Sharing between Sundays and all kinds of experiences. You doing this in the marketplace and in the social centers that you find yourself in on a day-by-day and a weekly basis. Inviting people that don't yet know Jesus into your home. Looking for opportunities to share him with them as you share your life with them. Inviting people that don't yet know Jesus into the life of our church so that together we could welcome them in and share Christ with them together through personal relationships, which lead to number 4, which is declaring the truth about Jesus through personal evangelism. These personal relationships give way to personal evangelism. And this is always the way this has happened in the life of the church. They went about making relationships and inviting people into their lives as they were preaching and teaching. It was a both and, not an either or. I thought about this and where this was in the book of Acts. And I thought about this passage here in Acts chapter 8 where Philip actually goes to share the gospel with the Ethiopian eunuch. And it's an interesting passage. There's 2 interesting things about it that I want to point out this morning. Again, I don't have time to go deep, but just a little surfacey here this morning on this, but I think it's significant nonetheless. In this passage, you know, the Spirit of God prompts Philip to go to this certain road, and he sees this Ethiopian eunuch who's in the chariot. If you know the story, you know the story. And Philip actually runs alongside, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join the chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he, that is the eunuch, invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is interesting that there is these 2 elements. There was the spirit initiation, and there was a simple question. I think oftentimes that's all that personal evangelism takes in a context of a personal relationship. This was actually not a very personal relationship or not a personal relationship at all. This was a complete stranger that the Spirit just prompted Philip to share with. But the sharing of that in that personal evangelism, meaning kind of interpersonal, one-on-one kind of evangelistic encounters, is that it was spirit-initiated, and it was started and prompted by a simple question. What are you reading? Do you understand what you're reading? In Village Church, I think that we could have many more of these kinds of conversations if we paid attention to the spirit initiation and to a simple question, a simple sort of catalyst that could get the conversation going. I remember the time I think in my life where I did this most was when I was in college. I don't know if you resonate with that at all, but I felt like in college, you know, you kind of have all this angst and kind of thing. And I think I had like kind of a holy angst, you know, for Jesus a little bit in college. And in a way, I wish I had a bit more of today, honestly, sometimes I think when I think back. And man, I used to feel like I get prompted often to just stop and engage people and talk about the gospel. I went to UCI, so I'd find myself skateboarding through Aldridge Park. Yes, I was the guy that rode a skateboard in college, you know, and I was riding through the park, and I remember one day riding through, and this gal was sitting on a bench, and I felt like the Spirit prompted me to sit and just to see how she was doing and to share the gospel with her, but I didn't listen. I went back, and I went by, and I skated by, and I skated over the bridge into that shopping center where In-N-Out and Chick-fil-A is now, right, because I didn't want to pay for parking, so I was, my car was parked over there, and I got in the car, and I turned on the car, and I remember I got ready to drive away, and I was just like,
I gotta go back there, you know. So I turn off the car and I got, you know, my skateboard out and I beat it over the bridge and back to Aldridge Park and found the bench and did not see her there. Right, I missed the opportunity. And I remember in that moment making a commitment that I'm going to take these opportunities when they come. I'm not going to let them go. And I think I'd be lying if I said that I've never passed up an opportunity since then. But I hope by God's grace I've taken advantage of most of them come my way. And I'm very sensitive to that now because of that experience. Maybe you had a similar experience and that can resonate with you. Village Church, you are such wonderful people. You're such good and godly people. You're such gifted people. We have a church filled with so many great people that God, I know God wants to use in great ways. Simple ways, prompted by His Spirit, a simple question, personal evangelism. I believe we want to see a lot of this happening in the life of our church. I'm going to pray for boldness for that for you. And maybe for some of you, you know, you're like, I don't know if I can do it. Maybe that's one of the reasons you're in a community group. Maybe you can do it together. Maybe you can invite people into the life of your community group and you can do this kind of thing together. So declaring the good news about Jesus, declaring his good news through teaching, through preaching, through personal relationships, and through personal evangelism. For me, my box is checked on personal evangelism. I typically do a lot of preaching and teaching, and I think I'm going to continue that. At least I hope so. I think so. Personal relationships, I think I've got a bunch of those. I think I've got a lot of relational equity with people outside of the life of our church and the things I do during the everyday, ordinary, you know, routines in my life. And I'm going to see some of them today after church. And I know I have the relational equity. For me, the next step with some of them is not just sort of the soft little, you know, engagements, but just a more pointed conversation about the truth of the gospel. I need to take my personal relationships into some more kind of pointed personal evangelism. And I know I need to declare the good news about Jesus this year more in those ways. And so I want to make a commitment to do that. As you look at this screen, I don't know what it might be for you. Maybe you feel like I'm not going to do a bunch of preaching and teaching. If you have kids and you live in a home, or if you're married, you will, right? In the context of your home at least. Or maybe it's just the way that you're going to engage the preaching and teaching of God's word. Maybe you're going to make a commitment that you'll come preparing. You know we're going to be in this next section of Daniel and you'll read it and you'll come prepared, ready to engage on a particular Sunday in a way that you haven't in the past. Maybe it's something like that. Maybe it's the relationships you know you need to develop outside the life of the church. Or maybe like me, it's that next step you know you need to take. Would you just pause for a moment and look at that list and see one that resonates with you? Would you join me in declaring this out loud again? You guys did a good job the first time. No inside voices, okay? Here we go. By the grace of God, I will declare the good news about Jesus more in this coming year through personal evangelism. Cool. I heard a few of them. It's good stuff. God's going to do good stuff through us, Village Church. I believe it. Can't wait to see what 2019 looks like in this regard. Lastly, displaying the life of Jesus. It's not just delighting in Jesus and declaring the good news about Jesus, but people who are delighting in Jesus, they can't help but talk about him, and they also can't help but live their lives a bit more like him. And we want to do that together as a church in 2019. We want to continue to do the things he's invited us to do in this way, and hopefully just an increasing measure. And so we desire to do this in kind of concentric circles. We know that Jesus reminded his disciples, or told his disciples rather, in Acts 1:8, that they would be his witnesses. These people that would display him, they would witness to him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And there's these concentric circles, and I know they're geographic concentric circles, and there's a lot that goes along with that in the book of Acts as we see the book of Acts unfold. I'm thinking about the concentric circles in our own life. You might have heard before people say, hey, your own kind of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, you know, the places that you go, the concentric circles of your life, kind of home and work, community, church, you know, country, world, those kinds of things, wherever you find yourself, you know, displaying the life of Jesus in those places. I think the primary way you do this is through a lifestyle of love, delighting in Jesus through a lifestyle of love. I don't know if this is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about being a witness for Jesus. Maybe you think about a soapbox somewhere on a pier, on a beach corner street or something like that. I don't know what your first thought is when you think about being a witness for Jesus. Whether you think a lifestyle of love is the first thing. But this is the thing that Jesus said would be the thing. You know that in John 13, Jesus says, this is how they will know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another. This is it. This is how they will know, by your love for one another. Your love for one another. That lifestyle of love, non-conditional, others first, sacrificial, God-honoring, action-oriented. This is what love looks like. And there's a picture of what it looks like in chapter 4 here, and I'll come back to this a bit later too, but I just thought it fit well here as well. This passage in Acts 4 where it kind of gives a second sort of snapshot of the life of the early church. It says, there was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what had been sold and laid it at the apostles' feet and is distributed to each as any had need. There was not a needy person among them. That they actually took their resources. And I think this is such a great example in a culture like ours that's so bent toward money and wealth and possessions and things like this, that they actually took their money, what they had, their possessions, and in a very unconditional, others-oriented, sacrificial, God-honoring, action-oriented kind of way, acted in a loving way toward one another to care for each other's needs. Beautiful picture of the early church. This is how they will know that we are his disciples. Display him through a lifestyle of love. Also displaying him through a lifestyle of obedience. A lifestyle of obedience. You know, much of the time, people will see Jesus in us when we're obeying him, when we're looking like him because we're obeying him. And I believe this is one of the reasons why Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Not just like you do with your kids, like, hey, do you love me? Yeah, then obey me, please. I'm your dad or I'm your mom. And there is certainly part of that. Like, if you love me, obey me. But I think part of the reason Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments, is Jesus knows as we love him and as we obey him, we're going to look more like him. And the more we look like him, the more we're going to display him to the people, the greater witnesses we will be to the people around us. And so this is why Jesus says this. If you love me, obey me, so that you'll look like me and display my life to the people around you. Displaying him through obedience. I think what this looks like in 2019, as I think about it for myself, is just personal holiness. When I think about obedience, I think about personal holiness. I think about displaying him through a life of personal holiness that allows other people around me to see something of Jesus in me and to see something of Jesus in you. We see this in Acts chapter 5. You know, there's this vignette about the apostles preaching and teaching, and they get kind of, you know, the council doesn't like it as always, right? So they bring them in, they're questioning them, and basically they're saying, hey, cut it out. You know, stop preaching, stop talking about Jesus. And Peter says to them, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses. We are witnesses to these things. They're witnesses by the things that they're doing, by obeying Jesus. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those what? Who obey him. Displaying him through a lifestyle of obedience. If you haven't thought about this as a means of displaying the life of Jesus lately, hopefully think about that this morning. This is a key way that we show other people who he is. Lifestyle of obedience. Thirdly, a lifestyle of service. A lifestyle of service. Jesus himself said, I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. A servant is not greater than his master, Jesus said. If we're going to display something of the life of Jesus, our lives are going to be lives that are servant-oriented. And there's this great little vignette in Acts chapter 6 that we all know, most of us, I'm sure, know this passage even well, that talks about the apostles not leaving the preaching of the word in prayer to give themselves to serving tables. It's a whole passage revolving around service. Actually, we get our first snapshot of the first deacon-qualified kinds of men in the life of the church from this passage here in Acts 6. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Pause there. I think a lot of people, maybe in the first reading, would say, wait a minute, the apostles, they don't want, they're like above serving the tables. They just want to give themselves to the teaching and the praying. And I don't think that's at all what's going on here. I think what's going on here is the apostles, they are serving the church through preaching and through their praying. That's what they're doing. The early church is birthing. There are thousands of people. The first sermon, there's 3,000. The next one, there's 5. Like, there are thousands of people. The teaching and the praying takes a lot of time, effort, and energy. And they are serving the church in that way. But there's going to be another group of people that serve the church in a different way. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. I mean, these guys aren't schleps, right? We will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves. There's that word devote again. We will continually give ourselves to these things that we enjoy, to the prayer and the ministry of the word, that the things that we delight in, the way that God's geared us. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. I think that's part of the key to this passage. What they said pleased the whole gathering. Why did it please the whole gathering? Because the whole gathering knew. They were a gathering filled with people that knew that they showed something of the life of Jesus to each other by serving one another. And they knew the apostles were serving them in this certain way. And they knew that these widows need to be served in another kind of way. And they knew God would raise up people from among them to serve them in those specific ways. In Village Church, when we serve, in whatever way that it is that we serve, we show something of Jesus. We display something of Jesus in and through our service. And I think this is an area that we have been growing in as a church. And in the same breath, I would tell you, it is an area that we need to grow in as a church. And so we'll continue to grow in that by the grace of God. And it will be the way we show Christ to one another and to the world around us. Fourthly, displaying him through biblical community. Through biblical community. And I don't think we see a better example of that than here in Acts chapter 2, the passage we all know. And day by day, attending to the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That as they were meeting together in public places, and as they were meeting together in the private places in their homes, and as they were together and inviting others in, the Lord gave them favor, what? With all of the people, really translated with all the kinds of the people, with all different kinds of people, with Jews and with Gentiles, people that are like them and not like them, with all different kinds of people, giving them favor with all the people, and the Lord adding to their number daily those who are being saved. People in their midst that weren't yet following Jesus, that after being in their midst were in fact now following Jesus because of them displaying the life of Jesus to them in biblical community. I just want to say to you community group leaders, thanks for modeling this well for us as a church. Thank you for inviting people into your homes. If you're hosting a community group, if you're leading one, thank you to you community group leaders and hosts. Thank you to all of you who invite other people into your homes in any given Sunday or Wednesday or whenever it is you gather people together to share biblical community together, to open God's word, to pray, to share a meal. Village Church, I'm telling you that this will be an increasingly attractive proposition to a world that becomes increasingly fragmented. Continue to invite each other into biblical community. Continue to invite others into it as well. I believe we'll see God move in and through this in 2019. Number five, two more here and we're done. Display him through acts of mercy. Do acts of mercy. This has always been the way that God's people have showed something of Jesus because Jesus himself was a merciful Savior. Often in the Gospels, it says that Jesus looks on them with compassion. Jesus' heart breaks for people. His heart weeps for Jerusalem. Jesus is a compassionate Savior. And so he raises up a compassionate church who shows mercy to those around them, those inside the church and those outside the church. Back to Acts chapter 4 now, where it says there was not a needy person among them. And really what all mercy is about is seeing the needs that a person has and desiring to meet those needs and taking what you have, your time, your talent, your resource, all that you have to actually meet that need and engaging in whatever that act of mercy looks like. There's one of our apprentice guys right now. They're going through some training, developing kind of their own kind of purpose and vision statements that fit within the purpose and vision statement in the life of our church. And they're all developing these things right now. We did it actually just before the holiday break here. And one of our apprentice guys, his sort of vision that he has is exactly this. He says, you know, I want to create this sort of team in the life of our church where people come forward with any need. It could be a health need. It could be a financial need. It could be a relational need, whatever it's going to be. And I want to pray that God raises up a team to just meet that need. It's a benevolent need, whatever the need is. I want to raise up kind of a mercy team that will meet those needs for mercy. I'm just like, you know, slow clapping that. I love that. I love that God's raising up people in our church that want to display the life of Christ, like in this specific way. We've been praying for that. And lo and behold, here God's doing it among one of our very own growing leaders. It's such an exciting thing to see happening in the life of our church. I look forward to seeing what that looks like. Acts of mercy. And lastly, displaying him through healing. Okay, don't get scared, some of you. It's like, is Matt going to be a TV preacher? A new haircut? No, it's not. Nothing like that, okay? Just bear with me here a moment. This has always been one of the ways that Jesus has displayed the reality of who he is through his people. It's always been that way. In Acts chapter 5, it says, "Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles." I know they were apostles, and somebody's like, okay, these were the apostles, okay? And they were all gathered together in Solomon's particle. And this is why it says, none of them rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. You know, they're had a little fear and trepidation when they kind of stumbled upon the apostles, because this was happening in such crazy fashion, right? But then it goes on to say that, and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, and more than ever, as they brought those who needed the healing that Jesus offers. And Village Church, I want to say that this is not something that I don't think we should be scared of. Actually, I think this is something that we have actually seen in the life of our church, over the life of our church. We've seen people in our church healed of many things, and of some pretty crazy things as well, and some pretty dire things. And all I'm saying about this is this. I mean, what would it look like in 2019 if you knew a coworker, a family member, a friend that needed the help and healing hand of God in a pointed way that you knew? And what would it look like if you invited them to our prayer gathering on the third Wednesday and said, come, I know a whole group of people that would love to pray for you in the name of Jesus and would ask Jesus to help and to heal you? What would it look like if you invited them together here on Sunday morning and they sat through a Sunday morning together with us and they heard the preaching of God's word and they joined the worshiping of God's people, and then afterwards the elders might lay their hands on them and pray for them, ask God to help them and heal them? What would it look like if some of them were healed and some of them would glorify and praise God through the work of God in their life through the ministry of the healing hand of God in their life? And we just want to say we're open to that kind of thing here at the Village Church, and we've seen that in the life of our church. And I wonder what that would look like in 2019 if we saw people being helped and healed by Jesus. And so how will you display the life of Jesus in increasing measure in the coming year? How will you display the life of Jesus? We've seen six ways that could be true of us in the coming year, and I've thrown them up here on the screen for you again. A lifestyle of love, obedience, service, biblical community, mercy, and healing. The box that I checked was acts of mercy. You see my box checked there, acts of mercy. Ever since the end of Matthew, I feel like God's been speaking to me about this, and I've been praying for ways that I could engage in acts of mercy, some of them planned, some of them random, just asking God to give me opportunities to extend mercy to people around me. I don't know all that that looks like yet, but I know that I think I should display the life of Christ a bit more in a more merciful kind of life, intentionally extending mercy to more people and to more often. I know that's what mine is. What might yours be? Love? Obedience, personal holiness. Maybe this is a year to really dive into service and to show something of the life of Christ in that way. Biblical community. It's time to join a community group and get serious about getting with God's people more often. Maybe it is acts of mercy for you as well. Or maybe you're just going to continue to pray. Maybe you can begin praying for people's healing and see God move as he helps and heals people. I'd love to see that. Would you? Last time for us to declare this together out loud, not inside voices. All right, I know what mine is. Mine is acts of mercy. You know what yours is? Fill in the blanks. Here we go. By the grace of God, I will display the life of Jesus more this coming year through acts of mercy. Yeah. Well, we're trusting Jesus for all this and more. Looking forward to it, Village Church. Will you pray with me? Jesus, thank you for some downtime in this season of the year. Thank you for using it in our lives as individuals, in our lives as families, in our lives as a church family. Thank you for the downtime that allows us to sit and reflect a little bit and to remind ourselves about who we are and why we're here and what we're supposed to be doing. Lord, we thank you that you've drawn us together as a church family that knows why we're here. That we want to bring glory to you by growing and multiplying disciples. We're delighting in you. And because of that, they're declaring the truth about you and displaying your life to those around them. We know who we are. We know why we're here. And we thank you that we're not lost. We're not wondering. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to question. We thank you for these rhythms in the year that bring us back to reaffirm the things that are true about our lives and things that are true about our life as a church. And so we thank you for these things, Lord. We look forward to seeing the ways that you'll move in and through our lives and in and through the life of this church in the coming year. We're expectant, Lord. We thank you. We respond now to you as we sing songs to you. You deserve it. As we give of our tithes and offerings, you've given so much to us. as we remember your body given for us, your blood shed for us, as we as Christians receive communion. We thank you. We love you. It's in your name we ask these things, Jesus.